2 Timothy chapter number 2. If you get in the New Testament and you find a book with a T, you're pretty close because all the T's are together. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, the T's are all together there. So you want to get to 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. I told you this morning what I would be speaking on this evening, and the title of the message is Why Some Men Depart from the Faith. Why Some Men Depart from the Faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 16, 17, and 18, we will begin reading there. He says here, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." There's some whose faith was overthrown by these comments that were made here, the teachings of Hymenaeus and Philetus. The fact of the matter is we've all, if you've been in church for any length of time or around Christianity for any length of time, you have all seen, been part of, experienced, knowing somebody personally who came to church, who began to grow in the Lord, got saved, got baptized, began to follow after Christ. They began to make changes in their life. It was evident that they loved God and they loved His Word, and the joy of the Lord was on their face. You can't help but even be excited when you're around them, because they're excited about God and about His Word and just growing. And you see somebody like that who just continues to grow, but then all of a sudden, almost out of the clear blue, they're not in church. Well, where's so-and-so? What happened to them? They were on fire for God. They were so excited about the things of God. And they have departed from the faith. Some weeks ago, as I said, a question was asked of me as to why men depart from the faith. Why is it that a person who was at one time faithful to God and His Word would actually say something like, "I never believed any of that. Oh, I was just doing that, and it never was in my heart." Or, "Oh, that's just..." They would go from loving the church and being excited about what God is doing to criticizing the church and publicly out and about talking about the crazy things the church is teaching, or the wacky beliefs, how they believe that you should be holy and there's things you shouldn't watch, and you know, they say there's some music you shouldn't listen to, or they'll criticize some of the teachings of the church, where just seems like not long ago they were on fire for God. How is that possible? It's one of the most heartbreaking things for a pastor to endure. When men depart from the faith, when women depart from the faith, those who, not just the pastor, but as far as ministering of God, the servants of the church, those that labor and love and work to bring people along and spend time in discipleship with them and teach them and pray for them and work with them in class and go pick them up and bring them to church and all of the different things that are involved in bringing somebody along, and then to see them depart from the faith. You could look at it on a personal level when you think about when it happens inside of our own home sometimes. When one of your children, when a brother or a sister, when somebody you love personally, in your mind you say, they know better. How is it they can have departed from the faith? I can tell you, over the last couple weeks, I've just been so fed up with the devil and how he destroys lives. just seeing the devil get in and wreak havoc, even from somebody as maybe a young Christian that doesn't even know the damage that they're doing. They're not even really aware of really what it is the devil's doing to them at this point. To all the way to the Christian who's been saved for many years who refuses reproof and chooses to just go his own way and will not hear instruction. And you see the destruction that the devil is bringing. And listen, friend, the devil's the enemy. It's not the believer. It's not the wayward child. It's not the individual who is departing from the faith, and maybe they're criticizing the church and that hurts us, but I want you to understand they're not the enemy. The devil is the one that's causing these problems. And he is working in sometimes their lives. Why would sometimes a longtime saint of God choose to depart from the faith? I want you to see several texts here. We're going to look through 1 and 2 Timothy. If you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 19, chapter 1, verse number 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19. We see here, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus in Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander, these two turned from the faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegias and Hermogenes. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 17. Chapter 2 and verse number 17. And their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. In chapter 3 and verse number 8, chapter 3 and verse number 8, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind reprobate concerning the faith. A familiar one is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. For who? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And in chapter 4, verse number 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Paul named these different individuals just in these couple of short books, and he told Timothy, he says, hey, there are going to be those who will depart from the faith. In these groups, many times he'll say, there was a large group of whom were, and he would name specifically a couple of names, saying, these men have departed from the faith. At one time, he is both warning and encouraging. He's warning Timothy to take heed that these have departed from the faith. And the fact of the matter is anybody can depart. I was talking to Anthony today, and he said, by God's grace, I'm going to stay faithful. He says, I think about it, and I, as you were preaching, as you were talking, I just can't see under any scenario how I would go back on what I've been taught and the direction that I'm headed, and I'm committed. But I want you to understand, as fully, I believe, he is sincere in that commitment. As sincere as I am when I say, by God's grace, I want to continue to be the pastor here 15 years from now, and I want to celebrate together our 30th anniversary. But I want you to understand that nobody's outside the reach of the devil. These men that at one time had a good conscience, they loved God and loved God's man. They held high the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now they've turned away. The Bible says about these men, if you go back to, we're not going to go to all of them, but if you look in these texts, there's some things they said. They said that they've made shipwreck of their faith. Have you seen anybody do that? You've seen people just make a shipwreck of their faith. He said they've turned away from me. Now listen, you know I'm not one to promote the pastor. But Paul said they've turned away from me. You know, it's a pretty good sign of where somebody's at spiritually when they don't want to be around leadership. When your children, parents, when your children don't want to be where you are, if they want to be out by themselves, if they want to be away from you, they don't have open communication with you, you've got a pretty good tell that there's a problem. There's something not right in their spirit. Otherwise, they want to be with you. They desire to be around you. But when there's not something right in their spirit, oh, they want to be removed. Or when they want to participate in something that they know that mom or dad wouldn't approve of, they want to get alone, right? They want to get out. They want to go somewhere else. They want to hide. Well, it's a pretty good sign when there's a church member that doesn't want to shake the pastor's hand. When there's a church member that doesn't want to spend time with the pastor. And listen, I look at it and I say, who am I? I mean, why would anybody want to spend time with me anyway? You know, people call up and say, boy, I wish you'd come visit me. I'm like, well, wouldn't you rather Pastor Gus? I mean, he's such a fun guy, you know. I mean, what do you want me to come for? I don't think anything of who I am and the position I have, but God has been so good, and I tell people all the time, this is God's church. I'm just along for the ride, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. But when people depart, he says, they've turned away from me. He said, their words will eat as doth a canker. What's coming out of their mouth begins to be bitter and angry. They resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds. They've loved this present world. They did much evil. These men who once stood with God in the church have turned away. So what is it? There are several things we can learn from these passages of Scripture about why some men depart from the faith. Let's back up now, go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's walk through these texts and let's see what we can learn about why men depart from the faith. And we'll use this not as I don't want you in your mind's eye to be analyzing somebody that you know that departed from the faith and say, aha, that's why they did it. I figured it out. No, I want us to use this as a warning for us to say, God, help us not to depart. Help us to keep these things in our lives so that we will continue to be faithful and not depart from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. Now, what are the prophecies? The prophecies, when we're in the Word of God, when prophecies are mentioned, he's talking about the Scripture. He says, according to the Scriptures, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He says, so by the prophecies, by the Scripture, you're going to war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some have put away. Concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. He says, hey, there is some who have put away the Scriptures. There's some who have put away the Scriptures, and they have made shipwreck of their faith. Ultimately, he says, I have delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. He says, I've turned them over. There's nothing else that I can do. They've destroyed their faith because they have put away the Scriptures. We fight a good warfare by the Word of God. And these men made shipwreck of their faith. Believer, if we don't want to depart from the faith, we have got to get in the Word of God. You have got to daily have a walk with God. You have got to daily be reading and ingesting the Word of God. I know sometimes it's boring. I know sometimes you read it and you don't get anything out of it. I know sometimes you wonder what it's for. But I want you to understand that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if we don't want to depart from the faith, we have to have a steady diet of the Word of God. We have to. We must. It's like anything else. Do you know what happened? You've heard the statement. Grandma wrote it in the front of one of your Bibles, I'm sure. This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from. Listen, beloved, that is as true a statement as ever was. Because when you're in the Word of God, it gives you strength to stand against the wiles of the devil, and it gives you determination not to fall into sin. Do you know what happens when I come back from a 5-mile run, besides a heart attack? Back when I was running on a regular basis, years ago when I had hair and all that, what I'm saying is when you're exercising, when you're investing that time and effort to labor and be in shape, when you walk into the kitchen and you see a Twinkie there, you think, I'm going to undo all that work that I just did. Nah, I'll leave the Twinkie. But do you know what happens when I walk into the kitchen right now? And there's a Twinkie there. I eat it and I look for another one. Where's the package? Did somebody eat all the Twinkies already? There's nothing there to keep me from, I haven't invested any labor. What's another pound? I already got too many. I mean, who cares, right? But when I'm investing labor, when I'm working hard, when I'm trying to watch what I eat. Now, you know I don't drink much water. Well, I drink a lot of water. It tastes best when it's called Mountain Dew. But you know what? I don't drink much water. But when we're downstairs playing basketball and we've been running and running and running, exerting all that energy, and you've been sweating, that's when water tastes good. I mean, you've just been working out. You come, you say, man, I need a good glass of cold water. And people see me drink it. My kids are like, Dad, you're drinking water. Because you've been exerting that energy. What I'm saying is when you're investing energy in the Word of God day by day, when the devil comes to tempt you, you've got something to stand on. You've got some strength. You say, no, I can't. I'm walking with God. I'm in His Word. I'm praying. I'm seeking Him. I can't do that. And you resist that and you stay with God. But what happens when you put away the Scriptures and you just start living your life? Temptation comes and you're like, well, why not? What's the difference? What's one more sin? Am I the only one that thinks that way? Believer, if we don't want to depart from the faith, we have got to keep the Scriptures close. These men, Arminius and Alexander, departed from the faith because they put away the Scriptures. Now, we have a reading program here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, and many of you are involved in it, and you're reading above and beyond, but we're talking about one chapter a day. And we send out a devotional. I mean, the average YouTube video is like 3 to 5 minutes. If you would watch one less YouTube video, you could read your chapter a day. Now, I'm preaching to myself because I enjoy YouTube. I watch way too much YouTube, I'm confessing right now. Hey, how long does it take to read one chapter a day? And some people say, man, you're only reading one chapter a day. That's a lot better than no chapters. And what you'll find if you read one chapter a day, sometimes you might say, boy, that's really interesting. I'm going to look at this, and you dig a little bit further. And that's what we're hoping, is that the Bible study or the devotional that we send out via email to you, we hope it stirs your heart and you say, man, I want to know more about that. Or God, help me to understand that. You look back into it and you dig a little bit deeper. If we don't want to depart from the faith, we can't put away the Scriptures. Many times we look at and we see the fruit in a person's life. And that fruit is on display and it's maybe some kind of sin. We see that coming out of their life and we say, man, how could they do that? And sometimes we look at the Christian life and we say, man, I can't live the Christian life. People will come to me and say, Pastor Caleb, it's too hard. And I say, can I ask you, are you spending a little time every day in the Word of God? Well, No. That's like you going back to the doctor and telling the doctor, I'm not getting any better. And he says, okay, did you take the medicine I sent home with you? No. Well, come on. You can't expect to have victory as a Christian and continue to grow as a Christian when you starve yourself 6 days a week. Then you come into God's house on Sunday and eat a buffet, and then you starve yourself again. You've got to daily, it's got to be a pattern of life for you, a walk, a habit where you read the Word of God. If you don't, some men depart from the faith because they put away the Scriptures. Parents, it's important that we get our kids reading the Word of God in some level, in some way, on a regular basis. Just because they're in the environment, just because they're in the church, doesn't mean that they're going to have the faith that you have. They have got to personally get in the Word of God and begin to build a relationship with God so that they will not depart from the faith. So this group departed because they put away the Scriptures. The second group, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some men depart from their faith because they put up with seducing spirits. They put up with seducing spirits. You see, as a Christian, you cannot be demon-possessed. There is no communion with light and darkness. They cannot abide in the same place. If you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, if you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin, you've been forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Spirit came in and took residence in your heart, I believe that Satan can no longer possess that same space. However, you can be demon oppressed. You can be demonically influenced. You can put up with seducing spirits. Things in our lives that would influence us away from God. These men put up with seducing spirits, those that were speaking lies and hypocrisies. They continued to the point where their conscience was seared. These seducing spirits, I want you to understand that Satan has a plan, and he's coming after you. He wants you to depart from the faith. And he's going to put seducing spirits in your path. He went after Peter. Christ told Peter, Satan has desire to sift you like wheat. Beware, Peter. He went after Job. With approval from God, he went after Job. Satan wants to come after you and I. And he has desire to sift us like wheat. He has a plan, and he's coming after us. What I'm saying is that you need to be sober, be vigilant, because you're adversary of the devil. And he is coming after you with a plan. These seducing spirits, do you know that you choose what you want to influence you? Now, I already told you I watch a lot of YouTube. Most of the YouTube I watch is like tools, videos about different tools, new tools that are coming out, stuff on welding, how to weld so I could learn how to build a smoker, amen. instructional type things, a lot of different things like that. Pastor Derek and I, we've cut down some trees, and so we did a lot of learning on how to climb trees and safely use rigging and roping and lowering limbs and all that kind of stuff. So it's educational things, but you know what? You can watch a lot of things on YouTube that aren't good. There is a lot of things you can learn how to do just about anything on YouTube. Even a lot of sin. You can learn that too. But let's not even go into sin. Let's just talk about seducing spirits. Let's just talk about those who would teach false doctrine. You choose who you're letting influence you. Giving heed to these seducing spirits. You need to be careful who it is that you allow to influence your heart and your mind. Because it has an effect on you. You say, oh, well, I can listen to that and I'll be okay. If you continue to, you will begin to adopt or believe the philosophies that are portrayed. If you continue to listen to that. You listen to someone who doesn't think church is important. You get a friend who thinks that, hey, we can go golfing on Sunday. It's not a big deal. At first, you'll say, no, I know God wants me in church. But you continue to have that kind of a friend and continue to listen to him and allow him to influence you. Pretty soon, you'll say, well, I'll just go out early and I'll miss Sunday school and just come in for church. And that'll be okay. It started. And that progression just keeps going as long as you allow those seducing spirits to continue to influence your life. Does that make sense? There are many false teachers. In our text, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you, but where we started in 2 Timothy 2:16 and 18, he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at thus a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, they didn't say that there was no resurrection. They didn't say Jesus didn't raise. No. You see, Satan's sly. He's subtle. He says, hey, the resurrection already happened. And they began to think, did we miss it? The resurrection, what? What? The seducing spirits and their faith was overturned. Because they gave heed to this false teaching. Listen, a false teacher is not going to be wearing a big sign that says, I'm a false teacher. They are presenting their truths as though they are as real and as consistent with the Word of God as anybody else. We've got to have discerning hearts, wisdom, and prayerfully know who it is that's influencing our hearts and minds. Especially concerning the scriptures. Don't just listen to anybody that's out there. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they believe. You say, oh, well, what they said sounded pretty good. Well, in that particular message, maybe it did. But you don't know what other things that they teach which go contrary to scripture. If you don't know who they are, you need to be discerning. You need to allow the right things to influence you. Just like Jacob said, listen to some good preaching. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to it being read to you. I'll tell you what, Revelation 1, verse number 3, he says, blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the words of these prophecies. I'll tell you what, you're blessed. If you read it and if you hear it, just put it on MP3 player, put it on your car radio, put it on your phone. It's available in every format today for free. You can listen to it almost anywhere. Listen to the Word of God. That's a lot better than a lot of what we listen to. So they put up with seducing spirits. Thirdly, they pursued after substance. They pursued after substance. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 8, 9, and 10. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They've erred from the faith. Why did they err from the faith? Because they were coveting after, they were pursuing after substance. What became an overriding discerning principle in their life, a deciding factor for what they were going to do or not do, no longer was the Word of God, no longer was what God says, but what gave me the most money. We are not led as Christians by the dollar bill. Let me encourage you, if God wants to end up moving you or leading you somewhere, listen, make sure it's God and not the dollar. If you tell me that you've got to move to Texas because that's where God wants you, if you tell me that that job there that you're getting is three times the pay that you're getting here, listen, I can't say what is and isn't God's will. But I have to wonder if you're not just following the money. You're going to move your family from a good church to a place that you don't even know if they have a church for the dollar. But we know we're not supposed to seek after that first. We're supposed to seek God first. We don't want to depart from the faith. One of the things we do is you don't pursue substance. You pursue after God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You pursue God first. Make the decisions that you make not because of what's going to give me the most money, but what's going to be the most spiritual benefit to my life. I get double time if I work Sundays. What gets me the most money and what gets me the most spiritual benefit? Being in God's house, getting double time. Boy, that double time would be a blessing. I'm sure it would. But how do you make that decision? I would say trust God and do that which is going to give you the most spiritual benefit and let God meet the need. God can bring it in another way. God can provide it through another means, and I guarantee you, God will bless you for honoring Him and putting Him first. You don't want to, I can, you know what? When you start pursuing after money, when that becomes how you make your decision, you are only one step away from departing. You're only one step away. You're so close to the edge from departing from the faith because you're putting that. You can't love God and what? For either you will love the one and hate the other. Right? We can't pursue after money. Let me give you the last one. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 20 and 21. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. He says, O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust, and avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee, amen. The first to Timothy was written from Laodicea, which is the chief city of Perga. This book here, this challenge to Timothy, he says, O Timothy, keep. That is to guard. That is to protect. That is to hold in value, keep that which was committed. That word committed means deposited, entrusted. Like you go to the bank and you make a deposit. You have entrusted the bank with that amount of money. And I'm sure that it's safe because it's FDIC insured. Amen. Yeah, we take that money to the bank and it's deposited there and we trust them to keep that, to guard it. The Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, guard, keep that which has been committed to you. Why some men here departed from the faith is because they pitched out their schooling. They pitched out their schooling. All the instruction that they had been given, they said, I don't need that. I don't want that. What has been committed to you? Church, the teachings of the Word of God, the instruction that you have been, that has been deposited in your life through Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night and the Bible studies and what has been deposited into your life, keep it. Guard it. Don't put it away. You have to keep watch over that, the things that you've been taught. Some people say, especially after they've been in church a little while, They begin to evaluate what they want and what they don't want. They begin to say, oh, well, I just don't agree with that. Oh, well, that's not for me. That's good for younger Christians, or that's good for so-and-so, or that's good for, but that's not for me. The instruction and teaching that you've been given, you're starting to push it away. You're starting to resist the truth. They begin to say, that's pastor's opinion. They begin to say, well, I know better than that. You know, some professing have erred concerning the faith. Look at this, look back at our verse here in 20, verse number 20. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. You see, there's an opposition of science. Sometimes there's things that are brought to light, people, especially in this area of science and creation, and they want to say, oh, the Word of God is not true because evolution is true. They are direct opposites. And sometimes people that are smart, that have a lot of initials behind their name, will begin to state some things, and they'll feel that they know better than the Word of God. The oppositions of science, falsely so-called. You need to keep what you've been taught. Keep the old truths. Hold tight to them. You don't need any new math. Amen? We don't need the new math. We need the old math. We need the old way, the old paths, the truths of the Word of God. We should value, love, and keep that which we've been taught, or we're going to depart from the faith. You see, one of two things has to happen. Either you continue in the faith, but at the point where we decide that we're going to start letting go of those things that we've been taught. You see, you've seen it happen. Somebody that was on fire for God, somebody that followed the Word of God, somebody that believed in God, they were doing what was right, and then all of a sudden they're missing church, and what do they say? They're like, oh, it's not that important. I mean, who says we have to go to church all the time anyway? I mean, they didn't necessarily have church on Sunday in the New Testament. I mean, this is just modern, just like any other church. It just happens to be our tradition that we have church this many times a week. So it's not that important. So they let that go. They let go tithing. They're letting go of the truths they've been taught. They put off the scriptures. Oh, I know it's important for me to read the Word of God, but that truth is no longer held dear and kept close, and they put it off, right? And with each thing that they put away, they're departing further and further from the truth. Does that make sense? So if we keep those things, it will keep us in the truth. It will keep us from departing. Because we have to start letting them go if we're going to depart. That's why you ask somebody after they've left for a little while, well, what about this? I mean, I know of a young an individual who memorized scripture like you wouldn't believe. He was a guy, if the pastor started saying a verse and he couldn't remember it, he could just quote it. Just about any verse, any time, just whatever. If it was something that the pastor started to say, he could probably quote it. And then one day he left his wife and his five kids, and his wife had one on the way. Just left. Out of church, gone. And went to see him, and he said, oh, I never believed any of that. He said, I'm not even saved. He says, I don't. Now, I believe he was saved. But he put away all the things that at one point he held dear. Christians, if we don't want to depart, we've got to keep these things. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The fact is, none of us are outside of the attack of the devil. As determined as each and every one of you are right now in your hearts to stand true and continue on for Jesus Christ. And my prayer and hope is that everybody here would continue on and be faithful until Jesus comes again or he calls us home. But the fact is that none of us are outside of the reach of the devil. And the devil could come in and tempt and draw away any one of us except for the grace of God and us continuing in these things which we have learned. Dear God, I pray you be with your people and help us to renew that commitment to you and to be sober, to be vigilant, Lord, to hold these truths dear and to guard them and protect them, to keep them, to value them, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. I ask you, God, to be with this moment of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.